Friday, the final day of the week. These are the voyages of the program Unsportsmanlike Conduct. Its ongoing mission, to explore strange new movies, to seek out new bits and new edifications, to boldly go where no radio program has gone before.
Hellcat's Movie Club. It's Hellcat's Movie Club. Hellcat's Movie Club. It's Hellcat's Movie Club.
It is indeed time for another edition of L. Kent's Movie Club, and Kent Wagamot of the Lincoln Journal Star joins us right now. Hello, Kent.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, buddy?
How are you?
Hello.
How am I? I'm good. I was fiddling around writing a story about an artist from the Ukraine who was forced out of the country by war, and she ended up here in Nebraska, and she has a show, art show of her paintings.
Oh wow.
Here. So I talked to her today and saw the show and was sitting around fiddling around on that, looked at my watch and went, ruh-roh, it's 3:30.
Yeah, well, all good. We got you here. We were keeping an eye on the green room, so we are good to go. And today we are reviewing the movie, and broke this news, Kent, to Jimmy as we went to break. The movie that won the Academy Award 1 year ago, that is the weekend of the Oscars this year. It is Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's available right now on Netflix. Nick picked this movie. Nick, take it away. What's Everything Everywhere All at Once about?
Well, speaking of foreign art.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh.
It's a movie that tackles multiverse theory in a very fun and creative kind of way. There's a woman, her life isn't necessarily magical or amazing. She's just an ordinary woman who quickly gets thrust into a different world, many different worlds on many different sides, and tries to navigate both these worlds and her relationship with her daughter.
I'd say that that's a pretty good representation and of what the movie was about.
Yes. I don't want to spoil this movie. It's
no, yeah,
movie.
Yeah. If you have not seen this, we will not be spoiling it in this conversation. Kent, let me ask you this to begin the conversation. This was one that premiered. I went back and I found my favorite movie podcast, their first discussion about it, and that was close to 2 years ago. This was May of 2022.
All right.
When they did their podcast. And at that moment, it was interesting listening to it after I watched it this week, Kent, because their conversation talked about the hype that this movie already had generated, the discussions that this movie had already generated. And then by the time, it held on to that for almost a year. It won the Oscar. And so now we are a year removed from the Oscars. We are almost 2 years removed from the release. How has being removed from the hype cycle, the take cycle of this movie, what has that meant for you as you took it in? Because I found myself actually enjoying it more this time than I did the first time I saw it back in theaters.
I believe this was the fifth time I watched it.
Oh, wow.
I have a bad habit of getting sucked in by a movie maybe once a year, maybe twice, some years maybe not at all. But I remember the same thing happened with Hell or High Water, the contemporary Western, 4 years ago. I watched it three times in 1 week. So, you know, this one did it for me. And so I saw it in the theater. Then I saw it when it was released on streaming last year, or on Showtime or wherever it went. Then I saw it in the theater again when it came back for the post-Oscar run. I watched it again, like in the summer of not, you know, 4 or 5, 6 months ago now, I guess. And then now, so this is a fifth time. And So it's kind of still playing the same for me only because I've watched it that many times.
Hype never died for you.
Hype never died. I have my little short thing that I wrote for the Oscar or for my best of the year last year about this, which I think kind of gets to the summary in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here it is. Bonkers in the best possible manner. Everything, everywhere, all at once is at its heart a dysfunctional family picture that's also a martial arts movie, a sci-fi flick, and a black comedy. Directors Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, aka the Daniels, have concocted a wild story about a Chinese immigrant laundromat operator who's trying to keep her family together while trying to get through an IRS audit, where she discovers that she has to bounce through multiple universes to save herself, the family, and everything else. She's played by a magnificent Michelle Yao, probably the only actress that could play the role, doing her own stunts while turning up as a chef, a Chinese opera singer, and martial arts star in the multiverses. It's eye-popping, action-packed, oft hilarious, and has plenty of heart, and you'll never think of an everything bagel the same way after you see it.
All right, well, that's a way better description than mine, Ken.
Yeah. It's a reason well why done. He's the critic.
I gave Josh
mine.
I'm a professional.
I gave Josh mine off air, and I said it's Scott Pilgrim meets Loki meets Ratatouille meets The Matrix.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. So I've never heard of this actress before, and what you just said, I didn't know she was doing her own stunts.
Absolutely. You want to see her at her martial arts finest. What's the name of it? My mind just went blank. It was the first of the big martial arts hits.
Yes, Madame, Magnificent Warriors, Police Story 3, Super Cop, The Heroic Trio, Holy Weapon. Those are in her first paragraph on IMDb, if it was one of those.
I'll have it in a second.
Oh, Crouching
here.
Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, that movie's been on my list forever.
It's really good.
Okay. That's her.
And I think
she's the star. She does all her own stunts. And,
amazing.
You know, she's like a 50-year-old woman doing that, which is pretty impressive, you know?
Yeah. And I think the most impressive thing about her on-screen presence is, like, when you see a Jamie Lee Curtis kind of come on screen, it's not, like dwarfing the stars around her, you know? She never shrinks on screen when you have a star of that caliber on screen with her. She kind of holds her own and carries the movie.
Yeah, she won.
Absolutely.
We were running through, Camp, before you give some of your opinions, we were running through what it did last year, because I said it did last year what Oppenheimer is going to do on Sunday, and it just won everything. It won Best Actor, it won Best Supporting Actor, or it won Best Actress, excuse me, Best Supporting Actress, Best Supporting Actor, it won Best Screenplay, it won Best Director, which was two directors, mm-hmm. and it won Best Picture, among some other stuff as well. It absolutely dominated.
And editing, the other one that it won. You, of course, we didn't mention this. The Best Supporting Actor winner, you know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Short Round.
Yeah.
From Indiana Jones.
Is it a requirement if there's a multiverse show or movie, he just has to be involved in it now because he also plays Ouroboros in Loki?
Mm. You know, Ken, I heard on this podcast that I mentioned from 2 years ago that I listened to, where it talked about him and how, you know, he was in these movies where he played parts that have not aged, you know, particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got typecast into that role, and then he became an adult, and it's like he got frustrated by the industry. And so he went behind the camera, and then it was Crazy Rich Asians came out. And he was like, he had FOMO. And he was like, I'm missing out on this. I want to be participating. He went and auditioned for this movie. And then he won the... And then I was reminded of it that at the Oscars last year, Harrison Ford was there. Mm-hmm. And like it was just like, how special of a moment was that?
Between Crazy Rich Asians, this movie, I think Parasite, is that a Korean film?
That's a South Korean film,
Korean film. And all
that's a real
good movie. Oh, great movie.
All of these Asian films and things coming out that we're now consuming, I'm glad that we live in a time where we're elevating these artists and these directors and these actors instead of making caricatures or jokes out of them like they have been for the longest time in Western cinema.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that we can finally live in a in a place in a time where these actors don't have to worry about being typecast, and they can go and do a part, be involved in a movie that gets extremely popular, and there's no preconceived notions or anything.
And qualifiers.
Qualifiers, yeah.
And show your range, too. Like, Michelle Yeoh, this was incredible, and to Kent's point, in everything that she was trying to portray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie again on this. This is the second time. So you mentioned it's the fifth time. You know, I had forgotten that, you know, without spoiling too much, the heart of it, you know, the emotional side of it. For some reason, I'd remember that being like the last like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But it really takes up.
It's like 40. I know what you're talking about. Like I paused it, and it was 45 minutes left.
Yeah,
I was like, wow.
It's like the last half of the movie, essentially, where it really gets into the relationships and kind of how and why all of this stuff is happening. And I was wondering how, again, being removed now from seeing it the first time and all of the hype that went into it, I was wondering how I would take the movie in, and I thought that the balance of the fun, the weird, and the family drama, I thought that it worked extremely well. I really did.
Oh, I agree, and boy, that is you I mean, the two directors wrote it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So those two guys, that is a almost a unique combination that I can think of in movies, to be able to pull all of that stuff together and pull it all off, right?
Yep.
And so I think part of it you have to attribute just to their creative storytelling, so to speak, but it all had to get pulled together with the acting and the technical stuff. They won the editing award for a reason, right? Because even though it has all... It has all this family drama, for lack of a better way to put it, in the last half, it doesn't bog down, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. It just cut, go. And by the time you're done watching it, you're like, that was really fun and really good. And there's really some meaning there, mm-hmm. Right? How often can you say that about an entertaining movie like that? A lot of times they're entertaining, but there's not really any there.
Yep.
Right.
And I know that all movies are art, but this is one of the movies that I kind of put it on a different pedestal, a different version of visual art.
Cause you can see the art in the movie.
Well, I mean, you can see the art in the movie, but it's when all the editing, the sound design, the music, the acting, it all just comes together and swells in a perfect way. And again, I hope this isn't an offensive thing to say, Kent, because I know you love movies, but this is just everything about this movie just comes together so perfectly. And even that part of the movie where you see her face and it flashes between a bunch of different parts, I was tempted to pause the movie and go frame by frame just to see every individual frame, art frame that was in that section, just from the movie. And then the music itself, too. I kept hearing the Clair de Lune motif throughout the movie, and then when they finally got to what I'm going to call the Clair de Lune part, it was such a good payoff.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I don't remember the last time I had such a good, maybe Baby Driver, where just a musical payoff also just elevated the other part of the, it was like its own subplot. The music was its own subplot in the movie.
Ken, as somebody that appreciates the way films are broken down, and obviously when we talk about all the great ones, they all have great first acts, second act, third acts. This is one of those rare movies where it's actually shown on screen when you're going into those portions, right? Do you appreciate that a little bit more when that like fourth wall is almost broken down a little bit?
Absolutely, because, okay, you would have no way of knowing this. I was at a screening, it's been a month or so more, with the new director of the Ross Theater here. And I look at my watch all the time during the movies.
Mm.
And she saw me and she's like, what's going on with that? Are you bored? And it's like, nope. I'm checking first act, second act, third act. Because they don't tell you.
Right.
But you can tell by watching if you've watched enough movies. And so let's say it's a 2-hour movie. First act is going to run about an hour and 10 to 15 minutes. The second act is going to run about 30 minutes, and then the third act is the rest. Or if there's four, they get chopped down into smaller But if you've watched enough movies, you see that. Here, they didn't even make any pretense about it.
Didn't hide it at all. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things, Kent, that I loved about this, too, and I don't think that it's giving anything away, that you could absolutely watch this as someone just falling apart at the seams and going through some sort of a mental crisis. Mm-hmm. And
absolutely,
it never really explores if she is or not. Like, you can view it from that perspective, or you can if you want to take it on its face and say it's just a movie about a lot of weird stuff happening, you can also view it from that perspective.
Not but it's clearly not, though. It's clearly not, though, right? Like, when you think about, like, when we talk about breaking generational curses and, like, the way the world is developed and how things are different now versus how our grandparents or our parents have looked at things. And it's just kind of like you can see a little bit of somebody, either yourself or somebody you know, directly involved in almost every single part of this movie.
Oh, 100%. I was tearing up at the end of the movie.
It's so good.
Yeah.
This movie took me on an emotional roller coaster.
I was just thinking about this when we were reading that, when Kent was reading his description, we were talking about our comps to this movie. It's like, on paper, this should be terrible. And somehow all these great actors made, like, Kent, you kind of brought it up, but like the everything bagel thing made me die laughing, but it didn't make me lose the introspective of what's going on the screen at the same time. And when you could pull that off, it's cinema magic.
The other food related things that happen too would have most people tapping out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't need to spoil those.
No, not at all.
they can look for the everything bagel in the movie.
Can I need you?
That's not giving anything away.
I need your professional opinion. What is the timeline under when you could start spoiling movies?
Well, in this case, I would probably go ahead and do it, but I understand that a lot of people haven't seen
it.
And also, this one is too good to spoil.
That matters.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, that matters too.
We were talking about some mediocre POS from
The Hill.
If we're talking about the hill.
Yeah. I'm more than happy to spoil it. And in fact, when there's some new releases that I think are just god awful, mm-hmm. I'll get them right on the first review.
Here's the end. It was the butler.
But this movie is just such an experience in itself that I would want everybody to go in blind for the first time. So, like I did. I didn't know anything.
Full disclosure, I've never watched the Oscars, like ever in my life. I love movies, and I really don't like other people dictating how I think about movies either. So I'd never actually even heard of this movie. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is some B-rate film that, you know, I had no expectations going into this, and it absolutely blew me away.
That's awesome that you went in with not knowing anything about it. I think it would be talk about a real treat of a surprise.
Yeah, I can't even say good enough things about this movie.
I obviously knew about the movie. I knew people loved the movie. I heard good things about it.
Oh, you'd never seen it?
I had never seen it, and I had intentionally avoided everything I could about this movie for the last 2 years because I knew I would want to watch it eventually.
Yeah, I knew nothing about this and like paused the screen. I was like, is that Jamie Lee Curtis? It was one of those things.
She's terrific in it.
Yeah,
so good.
Especially,
you think she did her own stunts, Ken?
I don't think this is giving.
I doubt it.
I guess I won't say, but the finger stuff, and I won't mention exactly, but that really took on a life of its own.
I love that so much.
That was some really good stuff. It's on the most ubiquitous streaming service there is. It's on Netflix. So if you heard this conversation, and
hey,
the
there's
very
live sports
intrigued,
coming to Netflix,
and there's a boxing match that is coming later this year, and so it won essentially all of the awards last year, and it's just I don't think you have to be a comic book fan. I don't think you have to be a fan of multiverse theory.
They make it really easy to follow too. Like, it's a little confusing at the beginning, like in the elevator scene.
But once you get past that,
it's perfect. Yeah.
I remember having the conscious thought where it all just made sense. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
They explained it and then they showed it. It's like, okay.
Yeah. And this is like the first one that like the first multiverse theory movie that I can remember that like introduces like current technology, not like futuristic type stuff into the mix too. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Kent, do you have any takes on Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson on Netflix?
Okay, Mike Tyson is 56 years old.
He's getting up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably not going to be great.
I'm not thinking this is going to be one of the great fights of our time. And my big question is, how much did Netflix pony up to get this?
The answer, no matter what is too much.
Too much.
Too much money.
It's too much.
But, I mean, how much, you know, what do you pay these guys? Millions, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, it's going to be horrible.
And I wonder who's going to watch it also. I mean, does Mike Tyson still even have a draw?
Yes, he will be more of the draw between the two. Yeah.
Okay. Mm.
So that is Everything Everywhere All at Once. If you got nothing going on this weekend, give it a watch. It's a little over 2 hours long, available on Netflix. So it's funny because Jimmy said something a little bit earlier that will lead into the pick for next week. So, Kent, we have been promising the Friends of the Grum for weeks now that they would have a chance to vote on a movie club pick. And so we've been taking nominations. Yes, you are correct. Now, first of all, and we're going to hopefully get better moving forward. So a lot of the nominations either... A, we had watched them already, mm-hmm. Like Air was nominated. We've already seen Air. Sorry about that. But B, we're available on streaming services, but to rent.
Right.
And so we are looking for movies that are on streaming, but not for rent.
Streaming,
so whether it's on
not rent.
Whether it's Netflix, whether it's, I mean, and mainly the renting ones are like the Amazons, the Apples of the world.
Right. So it could be not Fubo. What was it? Tubi?
Tubi, yeah. As long as we don't have to rent it, we're good with it, or go to the movie theater.
Yeah, and Kent already mentioned one of the nominees.
Yes. So, Hell or High Water was one of the nominees, Kent. You mentioned that earlier. The other three nominees that we went with were Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, which thankfully got last.
You're not super thrilled, Kent?
Yeah.
I just watched part of that piece of junk.
Yeah.
Like, 2 nights ago, it was on... My wife was watching. It's like, why are you watching?
Hey, at least you already would have been working ahead.
You know why she was watching it, Kent. You don't need to ask that question.
I guess I didn't need that.
Banshee
didn't have anything to do with the story.
Yeah.
Banshees of Inisherin was on there, and Clue from the 1990s or 80s.
I think it's 89.
80s movie, yeah.
And so Jimmy said it was The Butler.
Yeah.
Clue is the winner. Clue got 36.4% of the vote.
85. It came out in 85.
The voting literally just closed, and so we will be doing Clue in the first ever listener-nominated movie club, El Kent's Movie Club. So we'll be doing that next week. It is available on Paramount Plus. So we will be doing that next week. So... I would say that's a pretty solid one amongst the four, right?
I mean,
it's not Aquaman.
I loved Clue. I
want to hear you guys complain about my picks ever again, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's not true. We'll complain no matter what.
Nick, don't worry. The Hill is now... I mean, if you do a Mount Rushmore of the worst...
That's fair.
You probably have two on there. Stibbs has one and John has one.
Wow.
Your boy has none. I think mine's been pretty solid so far.
For the future, by the way, if you would like your chance to have one of your movies picked for Movie Club, 1620 The Zone email, sign up for that,
yeah.
And then you'll get a little link.
And we did tweet out the link earlier.
That too.
Go hop in there, because people were tweeting their ones at us. It's easier if you can just do it in that website, because then we get a file of them. And please do look and see, make sure it's not available to rent. We want to be able to watch them, because if they're renting, we're not going to do it. Because we're not going to get reimbursed.
Should we share whose pick this was?
Sure. Yeah. Do you have the name of the person?
Yeah. Levi. Thank you.
Thank you, Levi.
Thank you for Clue, Levi.
Thank you for Clue, Levi. So we will watch that one. Kent, we will not be doing a show in 2 weeks. So this will be the last Movie Club pick until the end of the month. Because we'll be off for March Madness in 2 weeks.
Then I guess we'll
next
do the
week
of the month.
We're on, and then we're off.
Yep, and then we're off. And then I think the next time you do Movie Club, it'll be Happer and me, and with Nick, we'll be in sunny Las Vegas.
Josh Ohtson next week.
Yes, it'll be
two people of movies.
Yeah, Mr. Josh Ohtson himself. So yeah, this month will be a little bit different with you, Kent, but Clue next week. We're looking forward to it.
All right.
Is Nebraska in the NCAA tournament, Kent, or do they got to win on Sunday?
Yes, they're in. If they win on Sunday, they're locked, I think, is the way that I would put it. In part because if they win on Sunday, that gets them the double bye in the Big Ten tournament.
And the three seed.
I can't imagine that any team that gets that high a seed in their conference tournament isn't automatically going to the NCAA tournament.
Especially in the Big Ten.
Yeah, as the three seed. Yeah, so... I agree. I think they're in. I think if they were to lose two in a row, I think that they would still be in, but they would probably go to Dayton. which nobody wants to go to Dayton.
Can I ask a question? Sorry to take it away from sports for a second. So as far as the voting for next week, will the three non-winners remain or will there be four new movies? Do we know yet?
No idea.
Okay. All right. I was just curious.
No idea. Nah.
They're in the pool.
Yeah, they're in the pool.
I was just trying to be helpful.
All right, Kent. Well, enjoy the weekend. The sun will return and melt all the snow. Yeah, and we mentioned earlier, Oppenheimer's going to destroy. Is there what? I guess race are you or maybe
literally,
most
figuratively?
Yeah, no pun intended. Which race are you most curious about? Is it best actress?
Yeah, that's the one. That was what Oppenheimer. I wrote today could win as many as 8 awards, and very likely will win 6 minimum. There's a couple that are maybe, maybe not, but I think they'll win 8. The only major award where it's not kind of already a slam dunk is actress, because Cillian Murphy and Paul Giamatti for actor was kind of looking like it was going to be a race, but nah, it's moved back to Murphy, who was the early favorite, and now I think he'll win. And the other two acting awards are already, you know, Robert Downey Jr. gets a career achievement award for best supporting actor, and then Divine Joy Randolph from the Holdovers gets the other. Mm-hmm. But best actress has been between
Lily Gladstone,
who is Killers of the Flower Moon, and the great Emma Stone in Poor Things, which to me is the best movie of last year, but isn't going to win Best Picture. And the quote polling, so to speak, has it right at almost 50-50. I said I think Lily Gladstone will win, in part because she'll become the first Native actress to win the Oscar if she does. But we'll see. I'm pulling for Emma, who, by the way, answers the severe question.
Does she get naked?
Multiple times.
I didn't realize that, Kent, but I heard somebody talking about that movie this week, and it was like, when you hear people describe actresses and their performances as very brave, it's code for she got naked a whole lot.
That's like, we just watched a movie recently. What, I can't remember the name of it, but it's got Jennifer Lawrence in it.
Oh, the comedy.
Yeah.
And she gets naked in that,
like,
right?
Six times. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that movie.
It's hilarious. Like,
maybe that's a movie club movie for you.
Oh, it's Horny Josh.
I've heard it's really funny.
It is really funny.
I read Playboy for the articles. I've heard it's very funny.
When I watched the previews for that one, it gave me the vibes of a mid-2000s comedy.
I love mid-2000s comedies.
No hard feelings.
So I thought it was interesting that they had made a movie that had that vibe.
I heard her do an interview, and she basically was like, we wanted to make a movie like that again.
Yeah,
because she's like my age. Like, that's a great era of comedy.
A little bit of a spoiler. She, like, starts wrestling people while in the nude. Mm. It's pretty funny.
Poor Things, by the way, for those of you who want to see Emma Stone naked or just want to see a great movie, it's available now on Hulu. It just went up.
Oh, it's on Hulu now.
It's on Hulu. Perfect. Yeah, Josh Hotson mentioned it yesterday at the end of the Connor Happer show. All right, so there you go. Watch the Oscars on Sunday. Kent, we'll be back with you next week to talk about Clue. Have an awesome weekend.
You do the same.
See you, buddy.
Kent Waugemont of the Lincoln Journal Star. We are oh so close to cracking them open. Let us know what you are drinking, because it is a One Beer Friday brought to you by the Nebraska Craft Brewers Guild. We'll have an update for you on Nebraska women's hoops when we return and what happened at the end of that one, and so many more things. Jimmy had something to say about the video game that we can get to, because that is going to come out.
I wanted to ask Kent if there was anything coming out that he was looking forward to, and I forgot. Because I'm very excited for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Dune 2 is getting a lot of praise. That just came out last week. We can talk about
Chip
Kelly.
Popcorn Bucket also got a lot of praise.
It certainly did. Dalton Schultz in Houston, he had some things to say about my favorite team, and a whole lot more. It's a One Beer Friday here on 1620 The Zone.